Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. As we usually do on Friday, we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, which will be the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I know I've said this to you before, but it strikes me so often when we say Ordinary Time. It's only ordinary in that it separates the readings between those that are for great times of festive celebrations, Advent and Christmas and Lent and Easter and times like that. But then we go back to what is known as ordinary time. Now, nothing, as I've said to you before, nothing with God is ordinary in our sense, but it's just that separation between the festive seasons, the very solemn seasons of the year, and ordinary, that is normal daily time. So I look here at the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and I think that what the Lord wants to teach us today applies to every day of the year, whether it's ordinary time or whether it's special time in the life of the church. God wants to speak to us. God wants to draw us close to Himself. God wants to reveal Himself to you. Now, there's nothing ordinary about that. God wants to reveal Himself to you. So let's listen to the readings for this Sunday, and then I'll make a few comments about what I think is important for you to look at. The first reading is from the Book of Kings, chapter 3, verse 5, and then verses 7 to 12. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. God said, "Ask something of me, and I will give it to you." He knew that Solomon was willing to follow him. And he said, "Ask something of me, and I will give it to you." And Solomon answered, "O Lord my God, you have made me your servant king to succeed my father David. But I am a mere youth, not knowing at all how to act." See how humble he is, how honest he is? "I am a mere youth, not knowing at all how to act. I serve you in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a people so vast that it cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding heart, to judge your people and to distinguish right from wrong. For who is able to govern this vast people of yours?" Do you see the humility? He's turning to the Lord, and he could say, "Oh, thank you for giving me all these gifts and all this authority, and thank you for this, and now I'll take it from here." But that's not at all what Solomon says. He says, "I'm a mere youth. I don't know at all how to act. I serve you in the midst of a people whom you have chosen, a people so vast that it can't be counted. So would you please, Lord, give me an understanding heart to judge your people and to distinguish right from wrong? For who is able to govern this vast people of yours?" Look at the humility. "Give me an army that will be undefeated. Give me this, give me that." He could have asked for all kinds of selfish reasons to foster his own ego, but he doesn't. That's why the Lord could count on him so much, because he wanted what was best. "Give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people and to distinguish right from wrong. For who is able to govern this vast people of yours?" Don't you wish that every politician in this country would pray that way? Ask God for it. Ask God to touch the hearts of all political people in this country. Ask Him, and ask Him again and again and again. God hears that kind of prayer. The Lord was pleased that Solomon made this request, and so God said to him, "Because you have asked for this, not for a long life for yourself, not for riches, not for the life of your enemies, but for understanding, so that you may know what is right, because you've asked for these things and not the other, I will do as you requested. I will give you a heart so wise and understanding that there has never been anyone like you up to now, and after you there will be no one to equal you. How many times have we heard about the wisdom of Solomon? Do we understand what that really means? Here's where it's laid out. He asked for what God wanted him to ask for. He did not ask selfishly. What about us? How do you think? How do I think? We are so self-centered that it takes an effort of our will to say, Lord, I want what you want. This is what I'd like. It's fine to say that to the Lord. This is what I'd like to see happen. But, Lord, your will, not mine, be done, because his will bring us happiness that you can't buy, brothers and sisters. Even with all the things that the world says are so valuable, you can't buy this kind of peace and this kind of joy. You just can't. So take a look at your own priorities. Psalm 119, one of my favorite psalms, the longest psalm in Scripture, Psalm 119. Lord, I love your commands. I have said, O Lord, that my part is to keep your words. The law of your mouth is to me more precious than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Is that true for you? That the commandments of the Lord are more important to you than having wealth and power and prestige, etc., etc. Let your kindness comfort me according to your promise to your servants. Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. For I love your commands more than gold, however fine, for in all your precepts I go forward, every false way I hate. Wonderful are your decrees, therefore I observe them. Is that prayer your prayer? It can become your prayer. Lord, let me desire what you desire. Let me long for what you long for. When you reorient yourself, and it's a decision of your will, when you reorient yourself, you will be amazed at the gifts God will give you. Because when he sees a son or daughter who really seeks to put him first and to put God's will first, will be mightily blessed. It's a death to self, because there are lots of things in this world that we just plain want. And we need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, change my heart so that I want what you want, Lord. And Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 28 to 30. Brothers and sisters, we know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. The Lord clearly tells us in Paul's letter to the Romans, all things work together for the good for those who love God. That's the key. Do you love him enough to put his will before your own? Do you love God enough to at least begin that journey, no matter how many times you fall? Are you willing? And now we read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 44 to 52. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has." Notice in both cases, sold all that he has and buys it. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand these things? There really is a heaven and a hell, brothers and sisters. You and I really are going to face the judgment seat of God. God knows our frailty. God knows our weaknesses. He understands, and he has mercy on us if we ask for them. Mercy will be given us. But if our lives are very divided, if we try to keep a foot, as I've often said, one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God, we're going to compromise. We make ourselves very vulnerable to compromise or to excusing in some way ourselves. Don't do that. Be straightforward with God. When you fail, repent. When you have a dilemma and you know what choice you should make, but you don't want to make it, ask God for strength. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for courage. Whatever it is you need, ask and God will give it. He will bless you when you choose his way over your own way or over your own desires. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore, sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. I'm reading that again because I want you, brothers and sisters, to see clearly the images that Jesus is using. The day will come when things will be sorted out and excuses won't work. You'll have to face the reality of who you are and your mixed motives. But if each time you've gone to the Lord and said, Lord, forgive me, give me strength to do what is right and good, God understands that process and he will love you and have mercy on you. Brothers and sisters, I wish with all my heart and I pray with all my heart for all of you that you may become very wise, one who has been instructed, as the gospel tells us today, one who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven, one who knows how to live his life or her life in such a way that we draw from the storehouse of God the grace and the power and the strength we need to live according to his will. Brothers and sisters, God loves us infinitely. God desires that you would follow him. Make the choices that need to be made. Don't hesitate to make them. Yes, you'll make mistakes. Yes, you'll fall at times. Just get up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Give me strength again to follow you and to choose what you would want me to choose. May God give to each of you the blessing of courage and wisdom. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.